Today is Count Day, a crucial day for schools across Michigan when the attendance count helps determine just how much funding every school will get. In Detroit, many of the kids present in one school today could be going to another by the spring count day next February. That's because one in three Detroit elementary students changes school each year, often right smack in the middle of the school year. It's called school hopping. Bridge Magazine and Chalkbeat Detroit investigated the city's enrollment instability for a series called Moving Costs, How Students Changing Schools Hurt Detroit Classrooms. Erin Einhorn of Chalkbeat Detroit is with us now. Erin, you and Bridge's Chastity Pratt-Doss, he took a very deep dive into this. Describe what the school hopping looks like in Detroit. What did you find?
Well, one of the things that we did with this project is that we focused on one eighth grade class at Bethune Elementary Middle School in Northwest Detroit. And there were 31 students in that class, and we asked every one of them, how many schools have you attended? And we found that the average student in that class had been to 4.5 schools. And there were 5 kids who had been to more than 7 schools on their road to eighth grade. And interestingly, of the 31 kids in the class, a third of them, 11 of them, enrolled in this school in the eighth grade. So right before they're going to high school, they're changing schools.
I found it very stunning that in some cases, a student couldn't even remember the names of the schools that she'd been to.
For sure. I mean, if you've been to 4 or 5 or 6 schools and, you know, you're 13 or 14 years old, they all start to run together. And sometimes they were there a very short period of time. And this has all kinds of consequences for teachers, for the students themselves, for schools. And that's one of the things we were trying to document in this story, is all the many ways that this affects classrooms and affects learning in significant ways, so much so that educators say it's one of the most difficult things that Detroit schools are dealing with.
Now, do schools get any heads up when one child leaves or arrives? I mean, do teachers know what the new student has been taught and any records traveling from the old school to the new school? Because certainly you would think in a perfect world that would happen.
You would, and a lot of states have data systems, you know, similar to when you go to the hospital and they can pull up your records from your doctor's office. And Michigan is developing one that will be online in a few years. But for the moment, a new student arrives in school, and it falls to the school secretary to call the child's previous school and say, hey, send over the records. They can take weeks. And meanwhile, a teacher's got a new student in their class. They don't know where that child is. Are they, you know, advanced? Are they behind? Do they need extra support? Does this child have a behavioral history that would be helpful for the teacher to know? So if you have new kids coming, you know, every week or every other week, and you have to scrap your lesson plan for the day to get a new child acclimated, you know, that can be very, very disruptive to a classroom.
Erin, what are the common reasons kids are school hopping?
Well, so when we first started this project, we assumed that it was going to be a lot of the consequences of poverty, unstable housing, foreclosures, evictions. But actually, when we started peeling back the layers a little bit, we relied on some research from a couple of professors at Wayne State University who looked at all of the students who changed schools between 2014 and 2015, and they found that only 40% of them had moved to an address in a different zip code, meaning 60% of them, well more than half, chose to move.
And what were the reasons they did that?
I mean, Michigan has very robust school choice laws. There's no restrictions on how many charter schools can open, and you have schools of choice where you could go to another school district. You have lots and lots of options. And in Detroit, we have very, very low quality. So you might be in a school and be very unhappy with what's happening there. You know, we talk to parents and they say, you know, my child didn't have a certified math teacher all year, or that school wasn't safe. I didn't feel safe there. My child was threatened, or my child was bullied, and I'm not going to stay in that school. And parents in Michigan have been taught, you know, over the last 25 years where we've had these school choice policies, that choosing is good, that it's what good parents do. It's the best thing you can do for your child. If you're in a bad situation, you have choices. You don't have to stay. You should move. And so they do. And you try one school, and it's not very good. And you go to another school, and it's not very good. And you go to another school, and it's got problems as well. And so you keep moving.
So then you get it. The result is like the youngster who said, well, I have seven schools by eighth grade, which is pretty mind-boggling. If you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Erin Einhorn of Chalkbeat Detroit about her series of reports done in conjunction with Bridge Magazine and Chastity Pratt Dossey. And it's called Moving Costs, How Students Changing Schools Hurt Detroit Classrooms. Erin, talk to us a little more about the kind of impact this has on a student's emotionally and socially, and also in terms of learning and test performance.
Yeah, there's extensive research on the impact that changing schools has on children. A child who has moved schools outside of an ordinary, you know, between elementary and middle school or middle and high school, a child who does one move like that is going to have lower test scores. They're going to have more behavioral problems. They're going to be more likely to drop out. Another thing that really surprised me in the research is that it's not just the kids who are moving who are affected, but also their classmates. So a student who's in a classroom that's experiencing this disruption of students coming and going, their test scores are lower too.
And to that point, as you mentioned, you focused on that one classroom, 8B, at Bethune Elementary Middle School. And Bethune was one of 38 schools threatened by the state with closure in 2017 for poor performance. So what does all this school hopping mean come M-step time?
Well, in Michigan, schools are not held accountable for their M-step scores for any student who wasn't there for the past two count days. So today is count day, and there's another one in February. So a student who isn't in the school for both count days won't be counted on this year's test scores. But the reality is that a student who keeps moving and moving and moving and moving is going to have lower and lower and lower scores. And we had the Detroit Public Schools run numbers for us, and it showed a clear correlation. The more schools you went to, the lower your scores.
And you were just saying that even the students who aren't moving are affected.
Absolutely. So if you're in a classroom where less learning is taking place because of this, you're going to have lower scores.
How does this student churn impact a school's funding?
Well, I mean, 90% of a school's funding is determined on who is enrolled today on count day. But if that student leaves that school today and next week they go somewhere else, that new school is going to take that student in and have the expense of educating that student without most of the funding that would come with that child. If students are coming and going and, you know, schools, it's hard for them to predict how many students they're going to have. It's hard for them to know how many teachers that they should hire. So it destabilizes the whole system. I mean, there was a charter school last week in Detroit that announced suddenly it was going to close. And that was because they, you know, had enrollment projections that said they were going to have a certain number of students. And then fewer than that showed up. And so they just didn't think they were going to have enough students to justify the expense of all the teachers they'd hired. And so they decided to just let people go and find something else. And they did that in late September.
Erin, your story focuses on the Detroit situation, but this isn't just a challenge in Detroit, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, it's definitely more pronounced in Detroit. It's definitely more significant in Detroit, but it's something that's happening all across the country. You know, Milwaukee has a very high rate of student churn, enrollment instability. Other cities in Michigan as well. As we've shifted away from the idea that everybody's going to go to their neighborhood school, and we've created all these other options, which in a lot of ways benefit families. You know, you have your charter schools and your magnet schools. There's some benefit to some people as a result of that, but we've created this system that encourages people to move, and so they do.
And you do offer up some ideas, as you call them, simpler, smaller steps that schools and policymakers could take to help ease this student hopping, this school hopping crisis. What are some of these?
Well, I should say that the one thing that would really fix it is better schools, which sounds simplistic. But honestly, if there were a really wonderful school in your neighborhood, or even if it's not in your neighborhood, if your child is enrolled in a great school, you're going to stay. So obviously, if we want to cut down on this, we need to give schools the resources they need to provide the kind of quality education that will give families a reason to stay there and not to keep shopping. Sort of beyond that, something we could maybe do sooner or, you know, more effectively is if we had transportation systems so that if you do move from one side of the city to the other or from one neighborhood to another, you know, maybe you can get a bus that'll take you back to your old school. if we had centralized record keeping, that would certainly ease the transition. So a student shows up in school, if you could quickly access the whole history of that child, you know, their academic transcripts, their test scores, any notes from the previous teacher, like, you know, this child is supposed to be wearing glasses, but he doesn't have them every day. Maybe put him in the front of the class. Really useful tips that teachers in a more stable school pass on to each other because they know each other, because the child's going from the second grade classroom to the third grade classroom next door. So if you could make that digital, that's something you could do.
And as you point out, that Michigan's new record system could be up and operational in 2 or 3 years.
But I don't know how robust it will be. They're doing it incrementally. So currently there's a couple things you could get. You can see their M-STEP scores, but you wouldn't be able to see, you know, their transcripts. And so they're building it. And I think ultimately it will help with this situation, but it takes time, and they've got to unite the data systems of, you know, 800-something school districts.
Well, there's much to read, much to absorb in this very, very worthwhile series reported by Erin Einhorn of Chalkbeat Detroit and Bridge Magazine's Chastity Pratt Dossey. And you will find Moving Costs, How Students Changing Schools Hurt Detroit Classrooms, by going to chalkbeat.org. Erin, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.